Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Today, our Christmas countdown guest is singer Paul Byrom. It's great to have Paul on the line with us. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Paul, for yourself and so many other musicians, like so many parts of our lives, I'm sure your 2020 was thrown upside down. What sort of an impact has it had on you and your music?
Well, I suppose, yeah, you're right. I mean, we've all been kind of turned upside down. Nobody has escaped the harshness of the COVID pandemic. You know, for the music industry in particular, it has been very, very difficult. I mean, there was a point when I was on tour in March throughout the States, and I could hear that things were kind of growing momentum back home, and it wasn't quite the same in America, the same vibe, and my mom and my girlfriend and I were like, you got to get home, you know, things are crazy here, and we're going into lockdown. And I was like, no, they're obviously overreacting, and because it's not like that here. And then, needless to say, just within 24 hours, things went into lockdown in the States, or shutdown, should I say. So I had to get a flight home mid-tour.
Which I presume you've probably never had to do before or never expected, yeah?
No. So a total nightmare in that regard. Came home and went into lockdown. And there was a point, I suppose, during it where, you know, you were all like, well, okay, there's nothing can be done. We're in lockdown. Everybody's in the same boat. We're all in the same storm in different boats, if you know what I mean. And so then as the year went on, you found that certain industries and certain walks of life were returning to some level of normality or returning to work. However, the music and the arts was what it seemed like and still seems like was being left behind and being forgotten about. And that seems very much still to be the case. I mean, in that, you know, as I said, we've come out of lockdown since Monday now, and things are returning, and you've got the vintners and the hoteliers and whoever else, the tourism board and small businesses, all of those people getting airtime and been talked about, and, you know, trying to...
So you feel kind of left behind a bit, Paul.
I mean,
because so many of these industries, you know, we're trying to think of creative solutions, and I've seen, so I forget what country it was, but I saw a picture of a concert happening where everybody were on almost little mini raised platforms and they were watching this concert. Obviously, the practicality of that, I was thinking, okay, and it was an outdoor venue, but how would that work in Ireland? Has there been any kind of... is there anybody representing the music industry on your behalf to government?
Well, I mean, we've got small little lobbying groups, and you've got, you know, you've got different people. But that's the thing. There isn't a union, so to speak, of singers or a union of musicians. There never has been, really. You know, there's IMRO and there's the likes of that look after your rights or your publishing rights and royalties and stuff. But with regards to you know, representing us as an industry, no, there really isn't. And I suppose in many respects, that should be looked at, you know, but I suppose, you know, it's just one of those things that we're hoping, you know, that people are going to take note, but we've been banging this drum now for, well, I've certainly been banging the drum for the last 6 months at least, you know, and you're looking at, you know, there's movie theatres been allowed to reopen now, and then there's talk of, you know, flights, you can take a flight somewhere, you know, if it's on the right list. But yet you can't sit in a theatre. You know, it strikes me as bizarre. You know, even in the UK, they're looking, this weekend, I think there's between 2 and 4,000 people being allowed into football stadiums. But yet the West End is still black. You know, it absolutely doesn't make sense to me. There is a disregard, I think, for those of us in the industry. It's an element of like, are you to be grand? Or, you know, sure, look, it's only the arts. There's more important things to be worrying about. You know, there's this, that, and the other. And I'm like, well, we're the big industry that brings in a huge amount of revenue to this country. Let's not, you know, disregard
that. As well as promoting Ireland abroad when you're touring all over the world, yeah?
Yeah, but then even aside from that, I mean, who are the first people that are called when there's a fundraiser on? You know, it's always the singers or the musicians. You wouldn't come and perform for us. We're having a fundraiser. You wouldn't come and do this for us, would you, because we're doing that. You know, isn't it great to get a bit of music? It lifts the spirits. Isn't it great to see the play? You know, that was exactly what we needed now on a night out. But yet, as soon as this has happened, we're kind of left by the side. And we'll call you when we need you. You know, there's that kind of, there is an element of that. And we've been kind of dismissed, and the government threw out, you know, small amounts of money to be divvied up amongst certain companies and production theatres to try and come up with pantos for the year. And, you know, and when you look at the money that's, for example, been given to the Greyhound racing in Ireland, just to name one, you know, in comparison to what the music and the arts are getting, it's remarkable. It just doesn't equate. And as I said, when things return to normality, people will assume or hope that all those singers and performers will be there ready to entertain us when they want to go out again. And the harsh reality of it is, unless we open up these theatres and get some level of plan and action, you know, there's a lot of singers, dancers and musicians that will have to go look at another profession. Yeah. That will walk away.
That won't be able to recover. And
can't recover. Yeah. I mean, a lot of them have gone under. Even little companies, things like, for example, people that rent out sound equipment or lighting equipment or staging or sets, all of those people are on their knees now at this point in time. And then when it all returns, where will they be? A lot of them won't be there. So it is quite serious, and it needs to be talked about, because we do pride ourselves on a country of the arts and the saints and the scholars and all of that lark. And now is the time to back the arts and support the arts. And as I said, I feel like a broken record, you know, at this point in time. But, you know, you get a little bit of traction every now and again, and then it goes down well.
I suppose in the interim, while you're waiting for more support, the best way people can support you is to buy your music and to buy it online and connect up with you that way.
Well, that's it, yeah. I mean, look, people have been great. I've been very fortunate. I have a very loyal fan base, you know, internationally and at home here, and I'm very fortunate. I really am, and it could be a lot worse for me. And I've been busy throughout the year, as you know. I've been piecing together a new album. A number of people, friends of mine in the industry, are scratching their heads going, what? You're doing an album this year of all years, like, you know. And so finally we got it over the line. We have a full 65-piece orchestra playing on the album. And we released it Friday last, so the 27th it came out. So it's out nearly a week. And people have been great. The reaction has been great. And people are supporting. And that is the way to support the arts. It's going and ordering their music online, actually ordering it, or going onto iTunes and downloading albums. Listening to stuff on Spotify, I'm not sure people realize that Spotify does very little to nothing for the likes of the smaller artists. You know, your Justin Bieber's and Taylor Swift's and whoever else, they're all grand. They're great. They're getting a million streams. That's great. But by streaming or listening to music for free, you know, you really are kind of, you're enjoying the music but giving nothing to the artist. So I implore people to kind of download the music, go onto iTunes, download it, and even just go on the websites like goldendiscs.ie and buy albums, mine preferably, but buy Irish artists.
That's it.
Because we're desperate for it, you know.
And we all certainly are getting behind by Irish. Right, we better get to some of your Christmas questions, Paul. Tell us a little bit about a Christmas memory from your childhood.
I suppose a lot of my Christmas memories as a child would be based around being a boy soprano, singing in churches in Dublin. I used to sing with a wonderful man by the name of Dal McNulty. He had a choir in John's Lane. So I would have done all the masses in there, and I would have gone out to Booterstown Church then and sang at the 6 o'clock mass on Christmas Eve, and then I would have sang in school. So my Christmas was always full of just going from one church to the next. I could have actually said the mass by the time I got to 21. Like, you know, I knew it inside out. So
did you enjoy it?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I mean, I have to confess, I wouldn't be, as I've got older, I'm not as religious, I suppose, as I would be. It was suggested I should be or whatever, but I'd be quite a spiritual person, so therefore I like and I love liturgical music. There's something beautiful about it, and as a kid I used to revel in singing it. It was a bizarre thing, you know, and when some of my classmates were listening to The Doors and, you know, U2 and being pretty cool, and there was me a little bit geeky loving singing the Ave Maria and A Holy Night, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing that you, I mean, a privilege, I suppose, to be able to be part of that. And I would say, Paul, you know, I'm pretty sure I saw you singing many years ago, saw and heard you singing many years ago. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who might have seen you, and that was a huge part of their Christmas. So it's in a strange way, your Christmas memory is part of other people's Christmas memories.
Yeah, and it is. I'm very fortunate to be in a position to do that through singing and through the style of music I do. I get to bring a lot of kind of comfort and to people, which is great. you know.
So I think probably one of the questions is a low light from 2020, but I'm guessing is it what we've been discussing just in terms of the music industry?
Yeah, the music. Well, that's just what it is. We're all the same, but we have to just, you know, get on with it, and we will get on with it, and we'll come out. And that was the whole point of the album. It was like a real statement that we'll be back. You know, we're not down and out. We will be back. The low light for me, though, was when I just was listening to Magella on before. My grandmother is 101 years of age, and she's in a nursing home. And I haven't seen her since February. I haven't held her hand since February. And, you know, I went for the first time there last week. I had a chance to go see her through a window. And she was too tired and frail to come down to the window. And so that was a real low for me because she doesn't understand what's really going on. I mean, she gets it, but she can't understand why we're not coming in to see her, you know. So that, for me, is the low of 2020, that my granny at this stage in her life, it could be her last Christmas, and I can't be with her.
It is absolutely heartbreaking, and look, hopefully that campaign will gain traction.
Help for sure, yeah.
And do you think you'll get to see her over Christmas, Paul? Will you be allowed to visit?
Well, that's the hope. I mean, I'm just gagging to get in to see her, you know, and I'm considering just going down to the nursing home and setting up a few speakers.
I was going to say, are you going to do a Daniel O'Donnell on it and sing outside?
Yeah. Oh, I think Daniel followed me. I did it back in April for my granny for her birthday.
You did it first.
So Daniel's robbing my ideas. But no, I think I might go down and sing a few songs for the residency just outside the front. And in actual fact, if anybody that's listening is from a nursing home in Dublin and would like me to come along and sing a couple of songs, I would be more than happy to do it. They can contact me through my website, paulbyram.ie, because I'm not doing gigs, and I would be more than happy and honoured to come along and sing a couple of tunes if people want that.
That's incredibly generous of you for giving of your time. I'm sure you're going to get lots of requests for it, Paul.
Well, they know where I am. They can contact byrampaul@gmail.com if they want to email me. I'd be more than happy to come out and just sing a few songs for residents and staff, because it's just, I think they are being forgotten in many respects as well through all of this, you know.
So what about a highlight of 2020? Something positive that happened?
Well, I mean, I think the highlight for me for sure is getting the album out, you know.
And the support you got for it.
Sorry?
The support that you got for it as well.
Yeah, it's been great. Look, it's a sense of achievement, and it has been the hardest release I've made to date. It's been the biggest achievement I've done to date because of everything that went against it and everything that was kind of thrown in front of it, and so to get it out eventually and see it in golden discs now on a shelf, it gives me great pride.
Indeed it should. And what will you recommend for Christmas? I have a feeling you might say buy the album.
I'd say, of course, if you want, you know, a good stocking filler or something for your granny or your mom or your uncle or your dad, or pick up a copy for sure, I would suggest that. But look, you know, I would just suggest enjoy yourself, try to be sensible in some regard, as much as you can, look, just be grateful that we're here to celebrate it, you know.
And how will you be celebrating Christmas this year, Paul?
You know what? I will be just taking it very handy. I will be with my mom, my sister and her husband, and the three kids. Santi, of course, is coming to the house on Christmas Day, or Christmas Eve, should I say. So we're all very excited about that. And it'll be a very simple family Christmas with, of course, my little dog as well, has Santi coming. So that'll be my Christmas this year. Nothing too wild or wonderful. I'm just grateful to be able to do it, you know.
And what about 2021? What are your hopes?
2021, my hope is that I'll be back on a stage. I'd love to bring my show back. The new album, I'd like to bring that to the stage with the full orchestra. And that is a massive to-do list. And to get back out touring in the States again. You know, that's primarily my... That's what makes you drive, you know. That it's performing, and I love performing. And at the moment, I'm sitting twiddling my thumbs, sitting at a desk, and that's just not who I am, you know.
Hopefully, we see you back on a stage sometime soon, Paul. Thanks so much for being our Christmas countdown guest today. That was singer Paul Byram, and of course, we were talking about his new album, What I Did for Love. If you want to get your hands on it, you can go to goldendiscs.ie. And also, incredible that Paul was just saying there, if you have someone in a nursing home in Dublin, that he would turn up and sing outside to lift the spirits. And you can get in touch with him at his website at paulbyram.ie. Let's play out with a wonderful song from Paul. Here is In My Life. This is Spirit Radio.
faces I remember all my life. Though some have changed, some forever. Not for better, some have gone, and some remain.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.